Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Coach Chat Radio, and I am Laurie Lawson, and my fantastic co-host is the amazing...
I'm blushing, Laurie. It's Bernie here, and I'm thrilled to be on the call.
And we are thrilled to have you, and we are also thrilled to have our guest, Terry Yaffe. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Terry in a second. Let me just tell you about Coach Chat first, and then you're going to have the privilege of hearing three former ICF presidents just talk, and we do this all the time. So let me tell you about Coach Chat. Coach Chat, we believe here that if you change your perspective, you can change your life. And we developed this show for coaches and those interested in one of the fastest-growing professions in the world today, so that we can hook you up with some of the world's leading coaches, and Terry's one of them, who share their expertise and give you tips and takeaways for expanding and improving your life and your business. So, Terry Yaffe, welcome to Coach Chat, the first show of the year. We're thrilled that you're our lead-in guest.
Well, thank you. I just have to make sure not to say Coach is creating change.
I know. Well, I have to tell you, Bernie, on our own, because Terry was on my first show in the 2020 on the television show, and I go, good afternoon. And I go, no, this is a nighttime show. So we're getting a little confused with the multimedia here.
Yeah.
Let me tell you a little bit about Miss Yaffe here. Terry is the creator of Try Coaching. And she's an executive coach. She has been with, I'm not sure how long, ICF, but I'm going to say 10-plus years, like Bernie and I. And she, you like that? Yeah. And she is also a past president. So we often get together. And so we just decided today we wanted to kind of talk about 2020, it's upon us. It is here, and what are we going to do with it? We're all still coaching. We're all still out there doing our own little thing, but we get together all the time. So, Bernie, I'm going to throw it over to you and see what questions you have for Terry.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Hello,
Bernie. Hello. Okay, I don't know if we...
Is Bernie having a problem?
He might be. Let's see if we can get him back on. Bernie, are you there? Okay. I'm going to ask you the first question. Oh, Bernie. Are you there? All right.
Hello? Yep. Hello?
Yeah, can you hear us?
I couldn't. Technical difficulties. I'm sorry, folks. I don't know what happened.
That's okay.
But I'm back. I'm back.
Well, I just told them how fabulous the three of us are and how we get together all the time. And I was throwing the first question out to you, so go right ahead. You didn't miss much.
All right. Perfect timing. So, Terry, 2019 is come and gone. And we've all had interesting clients this past year. I was curious to know, what major themes that you see in this past year that maybe are different than prior years?
I think that with the business landscape being what it is, I went to the ICF conference in Prague, and the basic theme, truly, was all about the changing landscape and it's influencing change, being an influencer, being comfortable, being uncomfortable in the, which we all know, VUCA, VUCA world, volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous, and being able to thrive in this ambiguity in the 21st century. And I do see that clients are trying to figure out how to be an influencer in their companies, how to have more of a voice, how to step up and flex muscles they may have not done in the past.
Terry, can you define, as you learned in Prague, what does changing landscape mean? What do they feel the changes that are here and the ones that are coming?
Meaning, I guess, you know, change is the new constant. That you can't rely on same old. If you're used to doing things a certain way and you want to remain doing it that way, you know, Marshall Goldsmith's book, What Got You Here Won't Get You There. And it's really being able to be flexible, adaptable. How can you change the game if the game isn't working? As we've seen with so many companies that have gone out of business. And it's about being in that environment and figuring out how to make the change when it may be scary. It may be taking a risk. It may be making somebody vulnerable. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just thinking in Blanchard, I do some work with them.
Right.
Recently, they were talking about organizations and how they should handle change. And the example they gave was that, you know, maybe the higher ups in an organization works a long time on getting something that they want to be done different. They want it to be done differently, so they want change. And they work on it for months and months and months. They get tired of talking about it, and then they just drop it on the people below them without helping them to adapt to the change.
Right,
which
right.
creates a lot of the anxiety and a lot mm-hmm. of the motivational issues, because the higher-ups are tired of talking about it already. You know, they've been beating the topic up for a long time, but their people just don't hear about it. What do you think about that?
I think in order to be successful, you have to guide people. You know, you can't say we're going to make changes, sweeping changes, and then drop it on somebody or employees and say, okay, we're doing it this way.
Mm-hmm.
I think that in order for a company to succeed, the people in the company have to be part and parcel, maybe not in the, you know, the idea of the change, but part of how do you implement that change? Because that's going to go down the food chain.
Right.
So how do you do that? And it's not only, you know, you're not going to get rid of the old and just make sweeping changes. I think that if you've got good things going, it's enhancing and developing some new structures, if that's the case, or whatever it is. But certainly having to work with teams or people that have to do it this way, well, there has to be training. There has to be, I don't know, even some hand-holding
mm-hmm.
to make sure that everybody understands, I think, the purpose. I don't think you can make a blanket statement. I think people have to understand, what's the purpose? Why are we making these changes? What's in it for us? What's the good?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then getting everyone on board. I'm not sure how that works with a company of 10,000, but, you know, I think it has to filter down. I think that's the responsibility of whoever is overseeing that area. I mean, mm-hmm. that's my own personal perspective.
I think very good points.
On that. Yeah, it's not about being comfortable anymore. It's how
do
you
be something?
Yeah.
Yeah, because whether our clients come to us because they want change, whether they're corporate or they're individual, if they, you know, something's not working, they want something to work better, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And yet, I'm sure we all find that once we start to talk about change and institute change, then there's resistance. So what are some techniques, and I'm gonna ask you both because I want to pick your brains. What are some techniques that you have to get your clients to embrace change?
I try to impart to them, and I use this because I love it. Change can look like Mount Everest, and that's too overwhelming. What I do with clients who want to make changes is I break it down. What's one thing you can do to start to make a change? If example is, if they have a problem advocating for themselves, what's one instance they can do to start that ball rolling? Maybe it's speaking up at a meeting. Maybe it's going in and talking about one thing. So change is overwhelming and people don't like change, but it's necessary. How do you make it easy for them to do it? Bernie?
Yeah, I'm thinking if the organization invests in developing their people,
mm-hmm.
In this case, change, and getting a coach, that's a really good first step, right? Because we
right.
can help. We can help them. They can voice their beliefs and their concerns,
mm-hmm. right.
in a safe place, and come up with, and maybe brainstorm, and as you say, come up with some steps that they can take to help change the behavior. What I do feel for are the millions of people out there that don't have that resource or investment,
mm-hmm.
And are really get stuck in fear of the change.
Well, then they go outside, because I don't go into big companies.
Mm-hmm.
So most of my clients come out from the umbrella of their company because they understand that they need to make these changes. And their company, either they don't want them to be involved or they're not at the level for the company to pay for it. And they
okay.
make the investment themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have a client now. He's an older man that worked for a company. It didn't work out, and he's now with a smaller company. And we really started deep diving into what some of his challenges are and maybe some of the reasons that the other company didn't work out. And he's now getting to become – he's getting another role, so he's getting one up on the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
And some of his concerns are he has a lack of confrontation and self-confidence. So, I deep dive into, you know, what are his thoughts about that? Where does he think that emanated? And what I do with him is I say, okay, what's one thing you can do to, because, let me backtrack. People have beliefs. Right, and assumptions about the word confrontation.
Hmm.
They think that you've got to be real. It's negative to a lot of people. If you can reframe that to it being, can you look at it as an opportunity and shift their mindset, that's one way. It's like
mm-hmm.
people that want to advocate for themselves. A lot of people think it's selfish. It's bragging.
Mm-hmm.
So when you shift it, you know, and have it look at being self-interest, and really being fact-based, then they start to get a different idea. So those are a few things that I work with to help people let go of what they believe certain words mean.
That's interesting. And as you're talking, I'm wondering, what do you do, or what do we do, when the interest of the company or the business or whatever the client has come to you for conflicts with the self-interest of the individual? What do you do with that?
Bernie?
Yeah. Well, that's
a conundrum.
Yeah, it is tough because the client is the client and not the sponsor. I tend to, you know, hope that the two come together at some point.
Right.
But they don't always. And there may be instances where, and oftentimes I'll say to the sponsor, it's possible that during the coaching, this person may decide that this isn't the right fit for them.
Right.
That this organization isn't the right fit.
Right.
And they may leave. It has nothing to do with me. It has to do with what they want. And almost always they understand that. So there may be cases where it isn't the right fit. Their values may be different. That's one key. So, yeah, they may not come together. And the leaving may be what they want to do.
Right. And that's right. If you come in as an external coach in a company where you're meeting with the sponsor who's telling you, and then there's the client, in most of my cases, I think the client comes understanding some of their issues. Either they've been told that they need to beef up some of their skills, or they're going to be promoted and they need to be able to do better speaking and presentations and communication. So then they will find a coach outside of the company, and they usually come with an already agenda in a lot of cases of what they need to work on. So it becomes a very different slant for me. And, you know, it's a different setup. I think being an outside coach, having people come to me, there's a lot more length and breadth of what we can do and how we can work together rather than being, you know, the sponsor and the client and having that dictate.
Yeah, and also the motivation, I find, even though it's anecdotal, that if somebody is paying me personally, their motivation is so much more than the organization sends them and the person says to them, so I don't even think I need this.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. So it's, you know, and I think most companies only bring in executive coaches for more of the top-tier people. They may bring in for some managers, but it's mostly the top tier that are heading up something or moving up to a new position. That's just my take, especially in today's business landscape where, you know, they might not have the funds to give it to, offer it to as many people as they might like.
Well, let's get back to what we need to either revise or adopt or enhance for 2020. I love the concept of being comfortable being uncomfortable, but I'm wondering how difficult is that, one, as a coach, and then to convince your clients, hey, it's really cool to get out of that comfort zone and not know what you're doing and where you're going. It's like, so I'm wondering, how do we do that?
Well, I didn't mean the the coach was uncomfortable. I meant the client was uncomfortable.
But that's authenticity. If we're not comfortable being uncomfortable, how can we convince our clients?
Right.
You know?
That's true. I think it's... So here's what I've come up with. I think no matter how uncomfortable we are, I think if we are rooted and planted in who we are as individuals, and we're not doing the latest, newest, gimmicky thing, but we're rooted in who we are and with the knowledge that we bring value, then I think that it's easier being being comfortable being uncomfortable. That's my thought on that.
Over the years, we read a lot about people's comfort zones and pushing people,
right.
And yet I'm starting to read neuroscience is saying that it may not be that useful to push people past their comfort zone, because the their brain will immediately feel threatened and fear kicks in. So now I'm starting to test a little bit, not pushing them too much, but just getting them, as you may say, more comfortable with, well, look, I was promoted for a reason. I'm adding value to the company. How do I even add more value to the company? And try to build their confidence up so that they're not really uncomfortable.
I can get that, and it all depends what we're talking about, because these are semantics.
Yeah.
Being comfortable being uncomfortable. Well, if you have to look at what's comfortable and what people are willing to do to be uncomfortable. You're right that you can push someone, and I don't even mean push.
Right.
When we're coaching, we're not pushing people. We're looking to see, to help them make the changes they are capable of making. If somebody is, I still count on my fingers. I am terrible at math, terrible. If somebody were going to try to train me to be a CFO, it would never work, never.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's semantics, and we've got to look at what are we asking? What's the ask?
Yeah, I think that capable, and realistic.
Right. I think what it means in a way, being comfortable, being uncomfortable, my hunch is not being willing to shift gears, not to be doing the same old, same old. Being willing to make changes that are necessary for you and the job that you're in or moving up the ladder. There are, plenty of people, which I'm sure we've all seen, that moved up the ladder and couldn't cut it and left because they did not have the qualifications or the capacity to do that job.
That's interesting because there's also, I deal with Lena Beck, who is an international coach who promotes women, and 80% of the women who are promoted to top management leave, not because they can't cut it, but because they don't want to play the game. It's like, oh, this isn't when. And truthfully, I believe that's why the three of us are here, because we got to our positions and went, nah, I want something more, So that's an interesting concept, and I love that you both put a positive spin on being uncomfortable, equaling, recognizing your value and your worth and going with that, going in there with that. So it's just an interesting concept that we've always been told we don't have to have the answers our clients do. I'm thinking that for 2020, that's changing. And I think somebody mentioned partnering with the client. And partnering with the client going, look, let's work this out together. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You don't know. But I bet you between the two of us, we're going to find out what's going on. And so I'm going to say I think that is on the horizon or on my horizon anyway for 2020 because it's like, it's almost like a sigh of relief. It's like, okay, I don't need to know everything. And right, Terry, I can't do math, but it doesn't mean even if I couldn't, I couldn't do real estate. But I would still want to coach somebody because if you're going to base it on the client, you know. But I wouldn't want to go in and fix up a real estate corporation. Couldn't do that. So I'm thinking maybe that's one tenant for 2020. It's just like. Partner for change, you know, partner and acknowledge that we're going to find the answers together. There's no, you know, path to it. We'll go along and see when it pops up.
I agree. And Bernie used the word thought partner, which I love.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
that was what you used.
Yeah.
I think the whole coaching concept has changed from day one to today. And I think over the next X years, it's going to change even more. And what it means to be somebody's coach. And we may not know what that is totally, but it is partnering, as you said, Bernie. It's really helping someone and not just being a question and answer type situation. Well, okay, what's that, or what's this, or how's this, or what's that? Mm-hmm. But helping them maybe even though we don't tell them what to do, help guide them to, because, you know, we don't have the answers. We just don't have the answers. And maybe in a case if we do, then to impart that. But it might not be the right answer for them.
Yes. Yeah. I was just thinking that too, Terry. We haven't had the answers, but they're probably for us. And you know, unless it's something that isn't too complicated. But life is complicated. And what I'm finding more of in this last year are people promoted because they're technically good, which happens probably most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not prepared they're lacking social skills. They're lacking. Their fears are typically, I'm afraid of feedback, giving feedback, or I'm afraid of holding someone accountable.
Uh-huh.
And they have absolutely no training in it. And it's not their fault. So
they're
lacking.
Right. And they're not confrontational. They can't tell somebody what to do or fire someone or you're right. How do you put someone in a job that requires those skills? So I think people have to be realistic about what their abilities are. And there are certainly people that get to a new level and they fake it till they make it, and they do make it. So, you know, I think it's a question and a conversation that could be much more than this half hour.
Absolutely.
But I think what we're finding is that finally companies are realizing that, you know, yes, this guy might be a rocket scientist and we can promote him, but he has to know how to deal with people. He has to know how to deal with himself. He has to know, you know, so maybe that's getting bigger and broader in 2020 also. So, we're actually out of time, which is pretty amazing to me. So I got to say, I love spending 2019 with both of you, and I love starting off 2020 with both of you guys, Terry Yaffe, Bernie Spiegel.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Terry.
Pardon?
Thank you. Open invitation. And Bernie,
yes.
Thank you for always being a great, great co-host with me.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bernie and Lori. I appreciate it. Take care.
Have a great
New
Year.
You too. Bye.
Happy New Year, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.